This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation to look at some of President Trump's predictions. Many of them were far off. One of them was spot on. Which one? The idea that major media would be losing audience share and big time if the Trump administration left the White House. That has happened. So what is the media response to that? There's a fascinating column on that subject. We will get to that. We will also be talking about a very wealthy, prestigious, and well-educated suburb taking some of the nation's first steps to reparations. No, really. And it is a city that is 80% white or close to it. And yet Evanston, Illinois seems to be leading the way. Or are they? We will get to that issue as well. But first up, the issue of Biden's border and some of the difficulties that the president is having on that immigration issue. We talk about it with Ruben Navarrete, who is an independent voice and an increasingly important voice in national political debate. He's based in San Diego. His twice weekly column offers new thinking on many of the important issues of the day. You can find out about it. Go to our website, michaelmedved.com. His column is syndicated worldwide by the Washington Post Writers Group. Ruben, so glad to speak to you. I mean, first question, right now there is pressure by Republicans and by Fox News and lots of people to have President Biden help in the one area in polling where he seems to be doing poorly, which is immigration, and to declare a formal crisis on the border. Would that be a good move for the President of the United States?
Michael, good to be with you again. You forgot to mention I'm a good friend of the program of Michael Medved and the Medved family, so it's always great to be with you. I'll tell you what, I think we've gotten to that point, my friend, because when the Biden administration, I didn't always believe this. I was really susceptible. I was really open to the claim that this was more of a challenge than a crisis. But when the Biden administration sent down FEMA and signaled it was sending FEMA, you send FEMA to deal with a crisis. That gave away, you know, the ghost. And I think that there's no problem now in acknowledging what the White House press secretary and others have acknowledged, that this is a crisis and it's going to require a much more sophisticated way of dealing with it. I don't think Biden's up to it or his administration's up to it because they've done such a really poor job in the last couple of weeks in managing the crisis.
Well, they've managed the messaging of the crisis horribly. I mean, first of all, they were denying it was a crisis. And then they had Secretary Mayorkas, the new Secretary of Homeland Security, on the TV talk shows, the news shows over the weekend, basically begging illegal immigrants or unauthorized immigrants, don't come.
Give us
some time. That's not going to work, is it?
That's right. I mean, it's fair to say that Alejandro Mayorkas, for all his other gifts he may yet have not revealed themselves yet. He is not a good communicator. You need to be a good communicator, a good messenger. What he showed us over the weekend on these various shows is he's sending mixed messages. He's telling people, on the one hand, don't come, but if you come and you are here, then we'll try to give you a fair hearing as to your refugee status. And those mixed messages have confused people, and I think it's a fair criticism of him. It's also a very fair criticism of the Biden administration that they have closed down access to the press. The media can't get into these detention centers. This looks a lot like Trump and a lot like Obama. This looks like the way we always do things, no matter if a Democrat or Republican is in office. So it's getting harder and harder for the Biden folks to claim the high moral ground and claim that they have a kinder and gentler and more fair policy down there when it doesn't look that way to most people. So, yeah, big time fail.
This, by the way, is the only issue, according to virtually all the polls, where Joe Biden might be underwater, where more people disapprove of the way he's handling it than approve of it. What would be step number one? Right now, people are concerned about the overcrowding, the horrible conditions. What's the first thing the president needs to do?
The first thing that we always need to do, whether we're dealing with immigration policy or refugee policy, and there is a difference, is to be honest. Honest with ourselves, honest with our political opponents, honest with our supporters, and honest with the American people. First thing he needs to do is be honest about the crisis and stop trying to sugarcoat it and say different things to different groups. The second thing he needs to do is avoid the problem that plagued the Obama administration, which is that Obama got into such difficulty on immigration, a big-time fail after 8 years, because he tried to simultaneously be both compassionate and tough. Whatever you want to say about Donald Trump, he was not compassionate. He was just tough. He basically said to refugees, you're going to stay in Mexico, you're not going to come across, because I don't want the responsibility of taking care of you. And Obama didn't do that. And Obama made a mess of things, because you cannot be simultaneously tough and compassionate in dealing with refugees on the border. So first, be honest with the American people and with yourself and all concerned. Secondly, choose tough or compassionate. You can't be both. Lastly, I would say, pick a lane. I mean, there are, Michael, four different things I've seen the Biden administration do in the last 3 weeks. They're letting people go into the interior without a court date, which is make the mockery of the refugee system. But they're also turning people around at the front door, at the back door, and revolving door, and sending them back into Mexico or to Central America without a court date, without a hearing, without anything, which also makes a mockery of our asylum system. They're locking people up, kids and teenagers, in detention facilities. And lastly, they're just, telling some people you can't come in. So there are lots of different things they're trying, and they need to pick a lane and go with one size fits all to say this is what we're going to do in terms of our policy. Yes, individuals have different stories, and we need to hear those stories, but there shouldn't be multiple choice questions in terms of the government's policy. The policy should be uniform.
Okay, and in terms of that policy, right now, I mean, there's an immediate problem with people living out in the open and what do look like cages. And I know that Ted Cruz, who has a pretty big megaphone, has been shouting and screaming because he wants to tour the border with the press in tow, and the Biden administration won't let him. What do they do? I mean, again, if you're sitting there with Ron Klain, the president's chief of staff, and the other people who presumably have some sway with President Biden, this can't just be punted. He has a press conference coming up Thursday night. He's going to be asked about all this, is he?
Absolutely. They're going to ask him about his promise of transparency. They're going to recall back to him, to Joe Biden, his exact words about how we're going to have a transparent government. And then they're going to say, how do you get transparency if you won't let us, members of the media, visit some of these sites and talk to people down there? So that's going to be a problem. And if I were Ron Klain or somewhere at that table, I'd say to the president, we can't run from our public record. You can't run from these statements about transparency. We shouldn't be ashamed or afraid of what we're doing down there. And if we are, then the problem is not that the media may report it. The problem is the fact that we're doing something we should be ashamed of. We ought to stop doing it. So I'm very consistent on this regard. I mean, I think first and foremost, as a journalist, there is no logical reason to keep the press and, as you said, Ted Cruz, other members of Congress away from these sites if there's nothing going on there that's untoward.
1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. I'm speaking to Ruben Navarrete, who knows as much about the immigration crisis as anybody who writes about it regularly, and is a voice that seems to me to be responsible, up the middle, and constructive. And Ruben, you're good to stay on with us to talk
more,
because we haven't solved this problem yet. And I'm sure that by the end of our conversation, we'll have it completely solved. The one thing that we agree on, I think, and have agreed on for a long time, is there needs to be something done for people who have lived here undocumented lives, many of them very positive, blameless lives, for 20 years, 25 years. But none of that can happen if people still think we have a porous border and there are more and more people pouring in without authorization. So step by step, where do we go in reforming this broken part of the American system? We'll continue that conversation with the one, the only, Ruben Navarrete, coming up. Big questions. Are religion and science constantly, inevitably at war? Can science provide evidence for God? New York Times best-selling author Stephen Meyer, he's a philosopher of science. He has written The Return of the God Hypothesis, three scientific discoveries that revealed the mind behind the universe. There's a special offer for MedVed listeners. Free excerpt from the book, free digital booklet on intelligent design, a discount on Dr. Meyer's online course, an invitation to an exclusive online meeting with Dr. Stephen Meyer. And amazingly, this new book, The Return of the God Hypothesis, has just been endorsed by a Nobel Prize winner in physics, Dr. Brian Josephson, and many other prominent scientists. You can read about it, find out all about it, when you go to discovery.org/MedVed for a special offer you don't want to miss. discovery.org/MedVed. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly, right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Michael Medved Show, speaking with columnist and public intellectual and all-around good guy, and yes, very much a friend of the Medved family, Ruben Navarrete. And talking about the Biden immigration bind, there's a piece in the Washington Post over the weekend. I'm sure Ruben has seen it. It's about the rightward shift of Latino men, people who are fed up with the Democratic Party and really came over, supported Trump in large numbers. And that's part of the political dilemma that Biden and the Democrats are in, isn't it? Is there really is an indication that in a way that wasn't true before they thought they can just take the Latino vote for granted, people are going to vote for us automatically. That's not true anymore, is it?
That's right. You know, Michael, I've known Latino Republicans for a long, long time, Mexican-American Republicans for a long time, people like my old friend Linda Chavez I've known forever. It used to be back in the 80s that if you were a Latino Republican, a Mexican-American Latino Republican, it was because, you know, you made some money. You didn't want to pay a lot in taxes. You wanted less government regulation and the like. And lately, you've seen a different trend whereby a lot of Hispanics are concluding, Latinos are concluding that the Democrats are a bunch of liars, especially when it comes to immigration. Liar, liar, pants on fire when it comes to immigration. Barack Obama single-handedly, though he did well with Hispanics in both elections, really added a lot of public cynicism, a lot of logs to that cynicism fire in terms of his treatment of the immigration issue. And I think that once you conclude that both parties are lying to you on a given subject, then it's a coin toss. Why not go Republican? So there is a danger here, as I said before, that this is what gets interesting. If you look back at 1986, all the way back to 1986, when IRCA passed the Immigration Reform and Control Act, the last time immigration Congress did something significant in a bipartisan way on immigration, there were Democrats opposed to that, as you well know, Michael. If you are from the Rust Belt states, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, you know, Michigan, and you have strong union support, the unions don't like immigration reform. They don't want to legalize all these folks because they see them as competitors. So the Democratic Party has tried to have their cake and eat it, too, for the better part of, you know, 30, 40 years, trying to cater to Latinos and say, we love immigrants, bring them all in. And then when people aren't looking, they cater to organized labor and say, don't worry, we'll help you keep them out. So it was about time somebody called CS on this game.
This piece by Eric Garcia in the Washington Post, it's called Trump, My Dad, and the Rightward Shift of Latino Men. What he says, and it's something I'm sure that with your family background, your dad was a cop for many years.
Sure.
What he says is the key thing here is that Democrats don't get that Latinos are big supporters of law and order and of rule of law. And that's part of the problem that Biden is trying to deal with. How do you support rule of law at the same time that you express some kind of compassion?
Right, and I really think people have to have been paying attention during the summer. You should know this already. If you saw the evening news footage from those summer riots and uprisings after the George Floyd killing, this was a black and white affair. These were rich white kids from the suburbs who went down to, you know, break windows at Starbucks, African-Americans and others. This was not Latinos and Asians. Latinos were not part of that because Latinos do respect law and order. Half of the Border Patrol is Latino. There are plenty of law enforcement officers like my dad who were cops and who are cops, and they were Latino and cop. You know, they were brown and blue. And so, yeah, I think that is woven into our fabric for respect for law and order. And so that's why I believe that you have to have strong, effective border control. That I just don't want to sign on to a $25 billion wall that people can climb over or get under. You know, if you want to spend a fraction of that money on technology, on electronic surveillance equipment and the like, I'm all for it. Sign me up. Let's go to war that way. So that's where I find myself, again, in the middle. Yeah, we are a law enforcement community. We are a law and order community. The Democratic Party has enjoyed our support for many, many decades, and they don't understand us. And likewise, unfortunately, the Republicans are pretty boneheaded when it comes to immigration, and they don't really understand this either.
Okay, so right now you've got these people who have come up, some of them being unaccompanied minors. Now, they're not all 6 years old and 7 years old. Some are. They're mostly teenagers. But what do you do? Do you just could we move more to process them more quickly to distinguish between the people who deserve to come in and those who don't?
Right. The first thing I would do is if I could get all the Border Patrol agents, all the members of Customs Border Protection into one big room and I was the president giving a talk, I'd say, listen, the idea is in loco parentis. We're acting in lieu of the parent. The minute you take custody of that child, that person who's under 18 years old, that's your responsibility, and that's the responsibility of the federal government. And this, again, is where Donald Trump had it right. And you know, he didn't do the right thing. He did the smart thing. He kept them all in Mexico. But as soon as you let them in and you put them in a Border Patrol guard, then you have to follow the law, which says you have to release them within 72 hours to a guardian or parent to do something with them. You can't just warehouse them. And you better treat them in a humane manner, right? So that's the number one thing that needs to happen. We need to remind these cops, like my old man, say, hey, you know what? I know you didn't sign up to be a social worker. I know you wanted to be a Border Patrol agent. But guess what, baby? You're a social worker now because there's nobody else here, okay? And you need to take care of these kids, and we need to do everything we can to get rid of them within 72 hours, which means getting them to their parents, their aunts, or excuse me, who their aunts, their relatives, their friends, their guardians, anybody in up in, you know, the other states, whose number they may have in their pocket, do something to try to find a place to locate these children. But you simply can't hold on to them indefinitely the way that Barack Obama did, because that caused a lot of trouble.
Okay, then in terms of legislative programs, Joe Biden, they're now talking about spending $3 trillion more on infrastructure.
Yeah.
What's an attainable legislative program that can help to improve border security at the same time that actually does something for people who want desperately to become part of the American fabric and part of the American community?
Yeah, it almost I go back and forth between dealing with this piecemeal, you know, the things we can do, the bill that was passed recently to deal with Dreamers, giving them a path to legal status or perhaps farm workers, or dealing with it comprehensively, as we've been said, because, man, we've really taken a beating over the last 10 years trying to do something comprehensively, haven't we, you and I and others?
So yeah, it's
comprehensively.
Sure, it's because it's so complicated, because you're talking about 11 million different stories from people, which are very different.
Right. And you have a lot of things that are intertwined here. So if you want to get tough on employers, we'll discourage people from coming because they won't have jobs. And if they don't have jobs, they won't be able to send for their nephew who comes in from Central America to join them. So it's all kind of connected. We have to do a lot of these things at once. We have to secure the border in a smart way with electronic surveillance and the like, and not with big giant walls that don't work so well and never get done. And then we have to crack down on employers in a meaningful way and give teeth to IRCA, which should have done this in 1986, and punish people, light jail time or fines or something if they knowingly hire illegal immigrants. And then beyond that, we have to do something for the undocumented people who are here to get them into the system if they've been here a long, long time, if their grandparents, if their lives are woven in with a bunch of other lives, they ought to be able to stay here. So, yeah, I do think we need a much smarter approach to this. I don't have the answer, but I know what's not working, and what's not working is what Joe Biden's trying on the border right now.
Well, that's a beginning of an answer and a very important one. You can read the great columns by Ruben Navarrete. They are posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. Reparations on a local basis, that coming up. Multiple question marks.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Joe and I are devastated. The feeling, I just can't imagine how the families are feeling, the victims whose futures were stolen from them.
President Biden speaking at the White House, the president noting that he's received extensive briefings on the tragedy. He said too many families and communities have been scarred by gun violence. Biden also calling for legislative action to address gun violence, saying it should not be a partisan issue. Jury selection in the trial for Derek Chauvin is over. Chauvin is a former Minneapolis police officer accused of killing George Floyd. All the jurors have been seated and the opening statements are set for Monday. A 15th person was selected on Tuesday, but the 15th juror won't hear the case if everybody else shows up next week. Security around the courthouse will be very tight. This is USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, we've spent a good deal of time talking about the big reparations bill, which is actually a great big nothing and a tremendous waste of taxpayer money. It's called H.R. 40, and I just found out they call it H.R. 40 because 40 acres and a mule, which, by the way, was not promised to every freed slave. It was something that was talked about by one Union general. And would it have been an appropriate thing to do? It would have absolutely been an appropriate thing to do. Does that mean that this is an IOU and you have to determine what the cost today would be of 40 acres? I don't know if mules are particularly expensive today, or even particularly useful. But, okay, the idea of reparations, that we're going to fix the 400 years of criminal exploitation that was involved in chattel slavery and was involved in taking people across the ocean. It wasn't mostly Americans who did that. But Americans took 4% of the people transported out of Africa, and they enslaved them. And, yes, it was a horrible, horrible crime. But now you have a Chicago suburb, very liberal suburb, by the way, that has determined to pay reparations and real money. And it's partially because Evanston, Illinois, is a well-to-do suburb. I know Evanston. I've spoken at Northwestern University, which is located in Evanston, many times. My brother's family, my brother's wife, is an Evanston girl, Jerusalem girl, and wonderful mother. But in any event, here is the story. The proposal in Evanston, a lakefront suburb of Chicago, was both pioneering and rare. came before the council last night. A blueprint to begin distributing $10 million in reparations to black residents of the city. Really? Evanston is a city of 73,000 people. And so $10 million, that's a pretty big sum of money in a town of 73,000. It is the start, said Robin Rue Simmons, an alderman and an architect of the measure. It is the reckoning. We're really proud as a city to be leading the nation toward repair and justice. Evanston is home to Northwestern University. It's known for its liberal politics. Boy, I'll say. Members of the city council said they were taking concrete steps that go beyond proposals that have emerged in American cities in recent years, committing funds to a city reparations program intended to redress historical racism and discrimination. When the city council overwhelmingly agreed in 2019 to create a reparations fund, it planned to use private donations and tax revenue from the sales of recreational marijuana. Whoopee! Now legal in Illinois. The first phase of spending from the reparations fund will begin with $400,000 in housing grants toward home repairs, mortgage assistance, or down payments toward a new home. Now, that can be very helpful. There's a problem with it, though. It says in Evanston, the housing grants are more narrowly targeted to residents who can show that they or their ancestors were victims of redlining and other discriminatory 20th century housing practices. Eligible applicants could be descendants of an Evanston resident who lived in the city between 1919 and 1969, or they could have experienced housing discrimination because of city policies after 1969. It is not clear how many people in Evanston would qualify, city officials said, and the number of available grants of up to $25,000 each is small. The population of Evanston is 17% black, it is 59% white, and 12% Latino. See, the difficulty is you're giving away city money that is raised from people of all races to people of one race. And that is not to say that black people have had a particularly tough time, but if they're living in Evanston, Illinois, which again is a comfortable and well-to-do suburb, the idea that you're going to award grants based not on need, but on you're trying to find out whether your grandfather was redlined, I mean, this is ridiculous, and it's deeply problematic. At a hearing of the House Judiciary Committee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties last month, Herschel Walker, former football star, who's black, who may be a candidate for the U.S. Senate in Georgia, President Trump wants him to run. He argued against reparations, saying they are divisive. Reparations teach separation, Herschel Walker said. Slavery ended over 130 years ago. How can a father ask his son to spend prison time for a crime he committed? Okay, this is part of what is going on. What went on in the council vote yesterday sounded like this. It ended up being an 8-1 vote in favor of government reparations. Listen.
On an 8-1 vote, the Evanston City Council approved adoption of Resolution 37-R-27, authorizing the implementation of the Evanston Local Reparations Restoring Housing Program and Program Budget. Again, this is the first 4% of the 10 million. It is an important but a small first step.
Okay, and then the mayor of Evanston spoke in behalf of that first step. His name is Steve Haggerty. Listen. We were just listening to. In any event, this is deeply problematic because, again, what you're doing here is basically trying to make up for a very, very long history by talking to people who may have triumphed over that history, and in many cases that's true of the people who are on the Evanston City Council. Sebastian Knowles, a 20-year-old junior at Purdue University, who ran unsuccessfully for Evanston mayor at age 20, said he worried that the current plan was not expansive enough and that other cities would mimic the housing program in referring to it as reparations. It's detrimental to the longer movement of reparations, he said, because media and municipalities will take this program at face value and they will use it as a blueprint, giving $400,000 to 16 black people in a town of 12,000 black residents is not reparations. This is part of the difficulty, is once you start handing out reparations, they say that Evanston now is 12% Latino. Do any of the Latinos deserve reparations? Do any of the white people who come from oppressed groups? There are people in Evanston who were terribly oppressed by the communists in Eastern Europe and by the Soviet Empire. Okay, it's a completely unworkable and un-American proposal. We'll be right back on the Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results, and after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone, but the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone, and so therefore my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833 toll free 654 pain, 833 654 pain. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kinger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Michael Medved Show, breaking news. The Washington Post has a big column and very well documented, and I actually think they're right, where they basically point out that on one issue in particular, Donald Trump was spot on. He was right. Doubters were wrong. What's the issue? It's put forward in a great column by Paul Farhi. He writes, of all Donald Trump's prophecies and predictions, that Mexico would pay for a border wall, well, nope. That the coronavirus would spontaneously disappear, no, not exactly. That he would be easily reelected, nope. At least one prophecy wasn't entirely wrong. In fact, it seems to be spot on. A quote, said President Trump back in 2017, newspapers, television, all forms of media will tank if I'm not there, because without me, their ratings are going down the tubes. Barely 2 months into the post-Trump era, news outlets are indeed losing much of the audience and readership they gained during his chaotic presidency. In other words, journalism's Trump bump may be giving way to a slump. Barump-bump. After setting record-setting January, traffic to the nation's most popular mainstream news sites, including the Washington Post, plummeted in February, according to the audience tracking form ComScore. The top sites were also generally doing worse than in February of last year, when the pandemic became a major international news story. Listen to this. The story is largely the same for cable and broadcast news. The most deeply affected network is CNN. After surpassing rivals Fox News and MSNBC in January, the network has lost 45% of its primetime audience in the past 5 weeks since Trump left office. According to Nielsen Media Research, MSNBC's audience has dropped 26%. Fox News, the most Trump-friendly of the three major networks and its primetime options, has essentially regained its leading position by standing still. Its ratings have fallen just 6%. Okay, this goes on, and it involves newspapers. Here's a number that is just incredible. In 2014, the year before Trump announced his candidacy, the three leading cable news networks collectively attracted an average of 2.8 million viewers a night. That's all. By 2019, Trump's third year in office, that number had nearly doubled to 5.3 million each night. And then, of course, everybody's lost all that. Now, why is that? Trump was always controversial, unpredictable, sometimes ridiculous, sometimes inspiring to people, sometimes enraging, but he's never boring. Joe Biden is trying to be as boring as possible. And some people might say he's even succeeding on that. So one of the things that Paul Farhi asks is, so what are they trying to do to make up for the fact that there's no longer this big disturbing force in the swamp to attract listeners and viewers and readers? And how to fill the Trump void? Perhaps with more journalism, said Cameron Barr, Washington Post interim executive editor. The newspaper is in the midst of the largest hiring spree in its history, with more than 1,000 journalists in its newsroom, and plans to add 150 more employees. Barr said the expansion will generate more coverage of race and identity issues, as well as business and international news, and that breaking news hubs in Seoul and London will enable the newspaper to follow stories around the clock. As for the White House, we intend to cover this president as aggressively as we covered his predecessors, Barr said. Well, Biden's been, certainly nobody's given him too much of a break, nor should they, on some of these border problems. And then there is the problem of cancel culture, which you hear a great deal about on Fox. And there's a piece over in Forbes. Says, first Hasbro decided it was time for Mr. Potato Head to get woke, and it announced a gender-neutral rebranding of the 69-year-old toy. Now Hasbro has decided Mr. Monopoly needs to have his consciousness raised. Hasbro is replacing community chess cards in the iconic game with ones that are more socially aware and better reflect community, in quotes. Fans will vote on which cards will be included in an updated version of the game to be released in the fall. With the new cards, players could be rewarded for things like supporting animal shelters, or school bake sales, or helping their neighbor, and penalized for not shopping locally, forgetting to recycle, or disturbing the peace by blasting loud music. Hasbro says the current cards with rewards for things like 1 second place in a beauty contest and references to life insurance or holiday funds are long overdue for a refresh. I think it's interesting that they're doing this by means of voting. I had been unaware of this. The little tokens that you use, you move around the Monopoly board, they've already changed. And they did that by voting on tokens. People voted to get rid of the iron token. I never understood what the iron token was meant. Was that supposed to be for a woman who was playing the game? And there is now a 64-token limited edition of the game. And I think this is fascinating. It's very smart on the part of Hasbro. One of the things they're doing with changing and updating this game is they are going to be marketing a vintage edition of Monopoly. With the same way that it came out, you can get, by ordering it specially, you can get the game as it existed in the 1930s, when Parker Brothers began to market it. And the creator of Monopoly was actually Lizzie McGee, and she created it as anti-big business and an anti-monopolist game. So they're going to try to remake also Mr. Monopoly, who was supposed to be based on J.P. Morgan, that little guy with a mustache and the top hat. We'll see how that goes. Meanwhile, there is another offering in the world of entertainment, and it's actually a movie playing in theaters that is surprisingly watchable, even though you may not have heard of any of the principals. Listen for the review of The Long Weekend.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
A struggling writer battling mental illness and a painful breakup unexpectedly meets his dream girl, who is, however, harboring some bizarre secrets in the unconventional romantic comedy Long Weekend, now playing in select theaters.
I met a girl.
You met a girl?
I came to town to, escape.
So what's she escaping from? That's one of the big surprises in this deft and unexpectedly involving film powered by the genuine star power of Zoe Chow and Finn Wittrock, who display irresistible on-screen chemistry. The twists and provocations keep coming till the very end of an often funny and genuinely touching Spellbinder that will advance the careers of everyone involved. Rated R for language and abundant sexual content. 3 stars for Long Weekend, which never seems long or tedious at all.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
Okay, this is one of those twisty movies that has a very big surprise right in the center of it. I mean, something you could not see coming, having watched how these two people met and fall in love. And then at the very end, there's another surprise. Damon Wayans Jr. is also in the film, by the way. It's actually surprisingly enjoyable. Speaking of surprisingly enjoyable, a wonderful headline. And I'll just give you what the headline says, and then we'll tell you the whole story behind it. Headlines from Bloomberg. Headline says, Satan's lawyers try Christian right tactics to erect winged goat. Okay, did you know that Satan had lawyers? Well, he does. And we'll try to analyze their legal strategy. And then there's seems to me a logical enough question. If you need to show an ID to get a vaccine shot, which everybody should get, why is it wrong to ask that you show an ID for voting? Most Americans think it's appropriate. We will get to that. We'll also be speaking with Dr. Stephen Meyer about all kinds of information that human civilization need be much older than we've ever supposed. What does that mean? We'll explain for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.